This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Right now, we're joined by Bruce Berkowitz. He's the author of several books about national security affairs, a senior analyst at RAND. He used to work for the CIA back in the 1970s and 80s. Bruce Berkowitz joins us from his office in Arlington, Virginia, and welcome.
Hi, Neil.
Hi. We'll also want to hear your questions about intelligence gathering and intelligence as evidence. Give us a phone call if you're interested, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, our email address, TOTN at NPR.org. And Bruce Berkowitz on Intelligence 101, can you begin by describing to us the kinds of intelligence that Secretary Powell could be talking about tomorrow before the Security Council?
Sure, Neil. Usually intelligence specialists like to talk about three collection disciplines of intelligence. And they're basically derived from the mechanism or the means you use to gather the data. And so intelligence specialists like to talk about human intelligence, which is intelligence that's collected by either overt attachés or foreign service officers or by covert clandestine case officers using assets.
Spies.
Yes, spies. And the second discipline is usually called IMINT, which is imagery intelligence, which is basically different kinds of pictures taken from satellites, airplanes, or unmanned aerial vehicles. And the third kind of intelligence is usually called SIGINT, or signals intelligence, which consists mainly of intercepted communications.
Isn't there a fourth, open sources, what you can learn from reading the newspapers?
Sure. I guess that some people will debate whether or not that's intelligence or information or just media, but hopefully analysts use whatever they can get a hold of.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a lot of analogies drawn to the Adlai Stevenson moment back at the Security Council during the Cuban Missile Crisis when the then U.S. ambassador to the United Nations showed a U-2 picture of Russian missiles being constructed in Cuba. But as, you know, I look at that picture even today, I can't tell that those are Russian missiles.
You're absolutely right. Imagery analysis is a very sophisticated and sometimes arcane art. Sometimes when I see what some of the analysts are able to do with data manipulation and their light tables and their terminals, I'm amazed myself. But I think that the larger lesson of that is that usually intelligence doesn't tell a straightforward message. Usually it's got to be interpreted. It definitely has to be processed. And often the interpretation is subject to disagreement.
One of the phrases that we're hearing a lot in connection with this appearance before the Security Council is sources and methods. What does that mean?
Usually that is referring to how intelligence organizations collect data and analyze it, sources of data and methods for processing it. The reason why it becomes significant in debates like this, such as how are we going to go making our case, as they say at the UN, is that we need to protect sources and methods. If you tell the bad guys how we're watching them, they'll take countermeasures. They'll start hiding things or not appearing where we expect them to be when we hope they're there so we can look at them or listen to them. As we try to make a more persuasive case, there's always the chance that we'll give away more and more of our information, and that will compromise sources and methods.
One of the most famous incidents in this regard was the publication in Jane's Defense Weekly of pictures they obtained from a naval analyst, Samuel Loring Morrison, of a Soviet vessel being constructed. And the idea there was by simply publishing these pictures, the Russians, obviously, they knew they were building the boat, but they could determine the quality of the photographs and learn about what they needed to hide.
That's exactly the point that the government made in their case when they prosecuted Morrison. If you look at the product that we're collecting, you can tell things like how small of an object you can see or what are the lighting conditions that we require to get an image and so on. And if you understand that kind of thing, then it's easier for the target to take countermeasures.
Our first caller is Milt, who joins us from Salt Lake City.
Yes. One of the things that bothers me, I used to be with the CIA also for a number of years, and one of the things that that bothers me and has always bothered me is the fact that we keep classified a lot of this information that doesn't really need to be classified that long. In most cases, within a few days or a few weeks, the information that is classified, even top secret, can very often, it loses its sensitivity after that period of time, and it can be revealed. And I think that the fact that the present government, which is the same as other administrations, has chosen not to reveal a lot of this information is simply because they like to maintain things secret. They don't want to tell people. And I think this is a disservice to the American public and to the purposes for which they're trying to provide this information, so that in this case, Iraq, it can be known truly what Iraq is doing.
Well, Mark, what about the point that Bruce Berkowitz was just talking about, sources and methods? If you say, well, we know that X artillery shells are in this particular spot, A, they might move them, and B, then they would know how you knew that, and they could hide their other stuff better.
Well, there is an argument that is legitimate that can be made on that point, but not all intelligence is gained by photos or by other things that can, where somebody can see actually where the production of that intelligence was. So if it's obtained by photographs or by surveillance satellites or whatever, so that it can reveal that kind of information, yes, I can understand that. But so much of the intelligence that is obtained by the U.S. intelligence organizations is not of that nature. Mm-hmm. It's things that come from what people have said, and when or other means of detecting. So when the immediate past or the immediate time has gone past, there's no reason to keep that classified.
Bruce Berkowitz?
I think Milt makes some excellent points. I wouldn't want to characterize the motives of why people are keeping certain information classified, because there are all kinds of motives. But I think that I think that in general there's a tendency to keep too much information classified, and I think that what we need to do is to identify the information that's truly sensitive and protect it very, very well.
Exactly.
Classification always comes at a cost. It's true, you need to protect sources and methods, but as you classify more and more of your information, it becomes harder to use and fewer people can use it.
Now let's go to Peter, who's with us also from Salt Lake City.
Yes, hi, Neil.
Hi.
My question, it seems to me that the president might be hiding behind intelligence that he doesn't in fact have. I mean, Colin Powell has said that he's not going to release any smoking gun. Currently, the president has failed to show us any smoking gun himself. How do we know whether he's hiding behind intelligence that doesn't in fact exist, or whether he has intelligence and just doesn't want to release it so that he doesn't give away American tactics?
Mm-hmm.
I would want to say the president is hiding. What I would probably agree with is that the president and the intelligence community has much more information than they are going to release, say, tomorrow or in the near future. And the reason why is, again, sources and methods. In general, as you release more information, to use your terms, hide less, in order to make a stronger argument in a public forum like the UN or even here at home in Congress, you're increasing the risk of exposing sources and methods. And so you have to come up with some kind of balance, and that depends on how sensitive the intelligence is, how important it is, and also how important the policy is, and how important intelligence is to swaying public opinion.
Good question, Peter. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Bruce Berkowitz, you wrote an article in this past Sunday's Washington Post in which you described a big difference between intelligence and evidence, and I was hoping you could explain that to us.
Oh, sure, sure. A lot of people think that intelligence is evidence, or they try to use it as evidence, as though if you put enough intelligence on the table, you're going to prove your case, as they say. And in fact, intelligence and evidence, like the kind that you find in court, are almost always completely different. The way they're collected is different. What you're trying to achieve by collecting the information is different, and the conditions under which they can be used are different. For example, when you collect evidence in a legal sense or a police sense, you're trying to meet a particular threshold, like beyond a reasonable doubt. And you usually take as much time as you need to collect the evidence that you require to win a case. Intelligence, on the other hand, doesn't have that kind of formal threshold. Essentially, you just try to inform military commanders and officials as best you can, and also you're usually operating under a time threshold. There's either a treaty negotiation or an imminent attack or some other kind of crisis that's pacing the process. So even though we often colloquially talk about intelligence being used as evidence, it's really important to know that there's a huge difference between the two. Probably the biggest difference, by the way, between intelligence and evidence in the legal sense is that when you collect intelligence, the target is almost always going to take countermeasures. And as you try harder and harder to collect, he's going to get better and better at hiding.
Bruce Berkowitz, thanks very much for being with us.
Sure. Pleasure to be here.
Bruce Berkowitz is a senior analyst at RAND. His latest book, due out next month, is The New Face of War, and he was with us on the phone from his office in Arlington, Virginia.